but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Snap. Kick is up and good! And Hawaii has done it!
Unbelievable, gritty performance by Mike Alejado. Setting up his kicker. Stanford thought they had it in the bag.
Hawaii wins with a kicker who learned how to kick on YouTube. Welcome to college football. John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News, joining us. How disappointing was Stanford's first game under Frank Reich?
I mean, I started out with zero expectations for Stanford this year. So to me, it wasn't a surprise. I think they're going to have a hard time being competitive in the ACC. And I think their win total is like 3.5 on the season. And the under's looking pretty good right about now.
Ben Gulbertson, we saw him at Oregon State, very limited. But if you have a run game, he proved, you know, if you have a lethal run game and some weapons around you, he proved he could manage the game. They go 7-1 with him as a starter. I didn't see those weapons at Stanford, Wilner. Can they ever find those weapons?
Maybe, eventually. I think it's going to take some time. And big part of the problem they have right now is, you know, their interim coach, Frank Reich, is running kind of a pro-style offense, which is what Stanford ran for a long time under Jim Harbaugh and David Shaw, and really suits the pool of players that they can recruit, because Stanford is still largely dependent on traditional recruiting, very limited what they can do in the transfer portal. And so Troy Taylor was playing this no-huddle spread offense. He gets run out in the spring. They bring in Frank Reich, installs a pro-style offense. A lot of the players aren't suited for what they want to try to do. So that just kind of adds to all of the issues Stanford was facing anyhow in this kind of day and age of college football.
John Wilner is with us. Stanford will move on. Obviously, they made a bunch of mistakes in this game. Hawaii will move on. We go on to week one of the schedule and the season. Where's your mind this week as you approach really the first opening week of college football?
Well, I certainly am looking forward to the Ohio State-Texas game. I think Texas is going to win, but that is going to be very telling, especially with two relatively inexperienced quarterbacks for both teams. To me, the Clemson-LSU game is also real interesting to see if Clemson is as good as I think they're going to be. But it's a horrific first week, probably the best of the early weeks of the season. And, you know, I can't wait, frankly. It's been a long – it feels like it's been – what? It's been 8 months almost. It feels like it's been a lot longer than that.
I am, you know, looking around, too, at the legacy Pac-12 schools and a school like Utah. You and I have talked about this on the YouTube podcast that we do, but we both think Utah and Kyle Whittingham are set up for a nice season. But what makes you think this really is going to be a nice season for Whit?
Part of it is just the law of averages. I think that they have been so battered by injury the last two seasons that there has to be a reversion to the norm and a pretty healthy year for them. I just don't know that you go... You know, so much of the injury factor is random. And it seems to me like it would be very statistically improbable for them to get hit badly for a third year in a row. So if you kind of assume that Utah is going to be pretty healthy and you assume that they're going to play good defense, because they always do, and that they've got a great offensive line, because the NFL is telling us they got a great offensive line. I think that it just comes down to their new quarterback, Devin Dampier, and his adjustment to their to the Utah personnel. And if he plays well, I think they're going to be really hard to beat.
I am looking at Kenny Dillingham in Arizona State, and I think they can have a really nice season with Sam Leavitt. But, you know, there was a little bit of magic and a little bit of mojo. It felt like, you know, they were winning games at the buzzer last year. They were winning games they could have lost last year. I'm not sure it lines up for them the same way in 2025.
No. I agree with you. That, to me, that, like, the winning the close games, you know, the three or four bounces and good breaks you got to have to win a close game, that is kind of like the injury deal. There's typically a reversion to the mean, and if you've got a bunch of good breaks one year, there's a pretty good chance that those, you're not going to get all those breaks again. And in the Big 12, the margins are so slim because the difference in talent from Team 1 to Team 16 is so much smaller than it is in the other conferences. And so how those three or four breaks a game go across three or four games a season could be the difference between first place and, you know, sixth place in that conference.
I am looking at Oregon's season, and it becomes very easy to look at Penn State on September 27th and go, hey, that's it, man, that's the big one. But if the Ducks take care of business all those other weeks, Wilner, I think they get to the playoff. What, in your mind, where does Oregon fit in the Big Ten, and what's a good season for Dan Lanning?
To me, getting in the playoff is a good season. I think that's where the bar is for them. With seven at-large teams, you know, you can finish third in the Big Ten, and you got, I mean, you're pretty much in. And you might even be in at fourth in the Big Ten. I think third place is pretty reasonable for Oregon in a given year, right? Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State, they're always, you know, on average, they're going to be tough. But beyond that, I think Oregon has got a great chance to get one of those playoff bids. And I think they'll get there again this year, too. I don't know about them winning the conference this year, but I certainly think that they're going to get an at-large berth. And if I'm Oregon, I am looking for an at-large, and I'm looking for a home playoff game. So I don't get a bye, and I get to enjoy the experience at Autzen Stadium. So they need a 5, 6, 7, or 8 seed in the playoff. And to me, third place in the Big Ten is probably going to get you there. Maybe you might need to be second. To me, that's what they should aim for. I think they'd be better off finishing there. I'll tell you right now, Oregon should not try. They should not win the Big Ten. They should aim for second place. Get that home playoff game.
Hey, seriously, ain't nothing wrong with that.
And avoid the bye. Avoid the bye.
Can you afford to think that way, though? If you're Dan Lanning, you obviously knew that, though, last year. He won't make it an excuse, but you and I both talked to him at Media Day, and I talked to him kind of off the grid at Media Day, and he says, of course, the rust was a factor, but you can't make it a thing. Do you think if it came down to Oregon knowing that, you know, they are going to go to the Big Ten championship game and have a chance to win the thing, do you think that they would they pull a punch ever?
I mean, I think, no, they probably wouldn't, but they should. Mm-hmm. If you're Oregon and you know late in the season, and I wouldn't want to get into pinning down exactly which game, whether it's why you cannot under any circumstances pull a punch in the Washington game, but if they knew for sure that they were going to get in the playoff and get a home game, in some alternate universe, they knew those two things, should they then play the backup quarterback? Hell yeah, they should. I absolutely believe they should do whatever they can do to get the home game and be in that 5-8 range. The problem is you don't know exactly how the selection committee is going to interpret things. They could do, who knows what they could do, because that's so subjective. But just like on a theoretical level, should Oregon, you know, throw a game, you know, to use the term loosely, do whatever you need to do to get a home playoff game. That's my advice to the Ducks. Whatever it takes.
I'm looking at Boise State without Ashton Gentry. And I feel like we kind of just assume they're going to be good, and they're going to, you know, they're ranked in the top 25. They're the only group of six team that's there. Any pause with Spencer Danielson in this season without Genty for you?
Yeah, I thought a little bit. You know, Maddox Madsen to me was pretty good last year, but that's the big question. I think they're going to have to rely more on the passing game. And is he, you know, there's that saying in the NFL, you're either the truck or the trailer, right? And he could be the trailer last year. This year he's probably got to be the truck with no Ashton Genty, right? So that gives me a little bit of pause. And the other piece of it is the defining game for them last year, right, was Oregon, that close loss. They played great. They looked like a playoff game in Eugene in September. And that gave them rocket fuel for the whole season and credibility. This year, the version of that game is in October in South Bend. And are they going to be able to go there and play competitively, be in the game in the fourth quarter? I don't know. I don't know if they can. I had, you know, more faith in them doing that in Autzen Stadium in the week two than I do going to South Bend in week, whatever it is, 7 or 8. That's, to me, it's a little different, and especially doing it without Genty.
John Wilner with us. Wilner, I appreciate your time and your expertise. Do you have a way too early Heisman Trophy pick?
I'll go Cade Klubnik, Clemson quarterback. I think Clemson's going to win the title. I think we're going, like, this is a throwback year to 2015 or 2019 when they were the best team. They are loaded. They got, like, 3 first-round picks on the defensive line. They got a really good quarterback. And they've got the easiest path, right, because the ACC is not very good. So they have a better path to get into the playoff. I've got them to win the title, and I'm going to pick him to win the Heisman. So John, bet against them.
All right, bet against Clemson to win it all. There it is, John Wilner making his Heisman pick and beyond. This week is going to be big. We've got coaches coming on all week. Bruce Barnum, Portland State coach, will join us tomorrow night, Tuesday at 5:20. We will get a visit from Trent Bray, the Oregon State coach. He'll be joining us on Wednesdays throughout the college football season. So he'll be joining us at 3:20 on Wednesday, not tomorrow, Wednesday. And then Dan Lanning will be joining us on Thursdays. So we have this locked in. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, each of the coaches. Lanning will be Thursdays at 4:20. We're going to chill with Dan Lanning at 4:20 every Thursday. So we'll get Lanning, or I might mix in an assistant here or there or a player, but it'll be Lanning or one of his substitutes every Thursday. So Bray on Wednesday, Lanning on Thursday, Barnum on Tuesday. Coaches sprinkled here and there throughout the season. I always like getting opposing coaches, if they're interesting, on the show as well. I want you to leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth.